This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Speaking of being safe, we got Jeff Shorts on, and his kids are usually pretty safe with us in the morning because we can hear him in the background. Jeff, were you watching last night? Do you think LeBron's done?
LeBron is done. You mean the Cavs are done?
Yes.
You know, I was going to tweet something like that, and then I realized that LeBron, because he beat the Warriors when they were down 3-1, I can't say they're done. I just question LeBron's willingness to keep having games like this, because that's a lot of energy. I mean, he put up, 40, 10, and 12?
Yes.
And he got blown out. Like, I don't know if he's willing to keep exerting all this energy to get blown out. We've seen him at times kind of just decide to pack in. We've seen Kobe do this, right? He just decided, like, I can't play with these guys anymore. I'm just not going to give the same effort. And I just don't know how willing he is to keep doing this, because it's a lot of energy. And to get blown out like that, when you give your best effort, and J.R. Smith has more flagrant fouls and points, and no one run, I think Hood played, started, and ended up with zeros across the board as well. He's got to be tired of it.
Now, LeBron was great. He had a triple-double. He did have 7 turnovers in Game 1 and 6 turnovers in Game 2, which to me is just evidence that he's trying to do too much, because he knows he has to be phenomenal in order for the Cavs to have a chance at all to win this series. What do you think is going to happen tonight? Obviously, you've got Game 2 in the Warriors-Rockets series. Are you buying into the idea that the Rockets are good enough to make this a series, or do you think the Warriors are just going to steal their soul tonight by winning the first two at home?
Well, I think this is the only game that I feel comfortable even betting on the Rockets to win. I did not, but the Warriors are still getting a point, which is absolutely ridiculous. But this is the only game I think the Rockets have a chance to win. If they go down 0-2, they're not winning Golden State unless the Warriors get super bored in Game 4. But I think the Warriors would rather just close it out. I mean, I was watching that game last night, the Celtics-Cavs, and I was just thinking to myself, man, LeBron's playing his butt off. The Celtics are hustling, diving all over the place, and they are both going to get blown out by the Warriors. I mean, they have no chance. You have Steph Curry that has an off night, but, oh, here's Durant putting up whatever. He's 35. Klay Thompson doing what he did. Draymond Green didn't really score very much. And tonight it could be Steph Curry with 35, but Durant with only 20. Like, they're almost an unstoppable force, and maybe the Rockets win tonight. This is probably their only chance. If not, they get swept.
Yeah, I think that there is no doubt that the Warriors are going to win tonight. All right, let's go to sports gambling. You played in the NFL for 8 years, whatever the heck it was, a decent amount of time. How much talk about the lines or spreads or gambling was there in NFL locker rooms when you played?
Zero. I obviously gamble now, but there was no talk of it in the locker room. I don't remember one instance where I even knew the line of a game. I mean, at times you knew you were underdogs. If the media asked you, how do you feel about being an underdog this week, or lack of respect, your coach brought up that you were an underdog. But there was zero talk of any lines. You know, we would do maybe on the weekend, we'd do like a college football, sheet where you just, fill out and pick winners. And maybe that was with the line, maybe it wasn't. But that was just in our offensive line room. And it was just very harmless. But I did not know anything about spreads. No one cared. I mean, what does it matter? Your job's to win the game. It doesn't matter what the spread is.
So do you think with the Supreme Court ruling and the fact that gambling is probably going to become talked about more, that will change the way people talk in locker rooms, or do you think nothing's going to change?
I think nothing will change in locker rooms unless they allow you to bet on yourself, which I don't really think is going to happen. I don't think it's going to change very much. I think it's going to change in sports media. I mean, you're going to have to cover it. I have a show we're working on for another network that should be out soon. It's going to be on a major platform. It's a gambling show. I mean, it's a 15-20 minute gambling show every day. I think it's something that has to be done. You're going to have to cover it now. I think ESPN is slowly starting to do it with Scott Van Pelt and some other people that actually supposedly they had a gambling show this year on like ESPNU or something on the weekends that no one really knew about, but it was there. Before games, if it's Fox, they're going to have to cover the lines before the games. I think you're going to have to do it now. It's going to be part of of the culture. I put up a poll last night. I was very surprised by the results. I said, if you don't gamble now and your state makes it legal, will you be more willing to gamble? And I think it was like 58% said yes. I was shocked by that number because I just don't see it. I don't think people are going to rush out that don't gamble now and really start gambling, because you can do it now if you want. You can just, like we do, we can go online, go to Overseas Book and fill out your bets and bet every night. So I just don't see the rush that there will be to gamble. Everyone will just start gambling. I don't really see that happening.
I think there are a lot of people, and I said this yesterday on the show, who, for instance, would not seek out marijuana, but when they go to Colorado and edibles are legal, they will go buy edibles and consume them, right? And I think there are a lot of people who, if alcohol were not legal, like back in Prohibition, certainly there were people who loved alcohol and would do whatever they had to get liquor, to get beer, even though it was not allowed to be sold. But I think consumption of alcohol skyrocketed when it was easily available. And I think if sports gambling is easily available, there are a lot more people that will do it, because there's always those people who are just a little bit apprehensive. They're a little bit afraid. They don't want to give their credit card number to somebody they don't trust. They don't like going online. But suddenly, I think Vegas is a great example, because I think there are lots of people who go to Vegas and decide to bet on sporting events while they're there just because it's a fun thing to do. I think that'll happen with sports gambling early. Now, how many of those people stay? I think that's another interesting question, because some people just hate losing money, right? Like the joy of winning some bets is totally overwhelmed by the pain of losing. Yeah. To me, it's like having a beer with a game. To me, I would like to sit on a couch, and if I'm out with buddies, I would like to have a couple of beers while I watch a game, or nachos, or wings, or whatever it is. And that makes the game better. I think that probably is true for the majority of sports fans when they actually test it out. You're new to sports gambling, relatively. Doesn't it make the games a lot more entertaining to you? And it's not like you're betting enough money to fundamentally alter your life in any way.
Well, I barely bet any money. I find myself watching random ninth innings of baseball games to see if my team can score enough points or whatever it is, score off runs. I agree with you that people will do it if it's in front of them, and I believe that if NFL teams or NBA teams or Major League Baseball teams, I don't know if we'll see this thing I'm going to get to with NCAA, but if they model themselves after the English Premier League, where they have a kiosk at the stadium, I think you'll see that skyrocket. I think people will be drinking a little bit. They'll feel good about their team, or they'll be an underdog and they want to put $20 down, $100 down, to be able to hold a physical ticket during the game where they're rooting for their team already, and now they can add a little money to it. I think that will skyrocket. People will just casually bet at sporting events because that's right in front of their face. Like you said, when you go to Vegas, you sit in a sports book, it's fun. You put a couple bucks here and there. But I think that people will realize that you pretty much, unless you really don't, unless you know what you're doing, you're going to lose money. And I think eventually, like you said, it's going to wear off when you realize that there are people that do this for a living, and they prey on random public people who want to bet.
Yeah, I think it is intriguing to think about what the future of sports gambling will look like, and also what the future of how games are covered will look like. And I don't know the answer, but I do think it's going to change pretty substantially. On the NFL front, there hasn't been a lot of news out there in general. I don't remember if we really asked you about this, but one of the lingering stories in the NFL is Ben Roethlisberger and the way that he treated his he might treat his backup. I mean, this thing has kind of hung out there a little bit. When you were in the NFL and a high-priced rookie came in, how much tension did that create in the locker room? Like, how much did you feel like you needed to mentor a young guy versus also understanding simultaneously, this guy's trying to take my job and literally he may be able to take away my ability to earn a living?
Well, when I was a rookie, Jordan Gross, who's now retired, mentored me, took me under his wing. I don't think I would have been the player I was. I don't know if I would have survived the NFL without having that mentor. So I owe a lot of success to him. He knows this. And so I always tried to be a mentor to the young players. I never felt threatened by anyone that was drafted. I mean, so what? There's competition every year. The NFL's their goal, scouts' goal, is to try to find someone better than you every offseason or during the season, whatever the case is. As far as Big Ben, you know, look, there's no unwritten rule or written rule that says you have to be a mentor. And I've always wondered this. You know, we talk about Tom Brady, and he's had a bunch of backups, and you know, he's never – I don't know if he's ever been really labeled a great mentor. I mean, you don't have to be. I don't think we've had anyone publicly come out and say that they're not going to do it. And look, Big Ben has a point about the Steelers' draft. You don't draft a quarterback in the third round to really replace your starter. That's not a, you know, you draft them in the first round to be, you know, to be the eventual starter. A third round draft pick is like, you know, he's going to be a good backup, and maybe he'll be the starter one day, but we don't really know yet, and you kind of have to see how he does. The Steelers are in a win-now mode. I mean, they had an opportunity to win now, and they basically wasted a third-round draft pick on a quarterback when they have a capable backup who wins games for them when Big Ben is out. So I understand Ben's frustration that they did not improve their team with this draft pick.
What do you think? You're in Charlotte. We finally got news that David Tepper, I believe is his name, is going to be buying the team from Jerry Richardson there. The Carolina Panthers reportedly selling for, I believe, $2.2 billion. What's the vibe in Charlotte and in North Carolina, South Carolina in general about this transaction?
Well, $2.2 billion in cash, pretty remarkable. And then he still has, what, $8 or $9 billion left over. It's remarkable. I can't even imagine something like that. You know, he's obviously just very different than Jerry Richardson, it seems like, from the way that what I've read about him. And I don't know if that's a welcome change or not. I think that what fans here are most worried about is the Panthers moving, and he said that he will not move them. And then it comes down to a stadium. Look, Bank of America Stadium, I think, is still functional. It's a grass field. It's outdoors. I like both those things. You know, the weather here in Charlotte is good enough where you really don't need to have a dome stadium. People are worried that they will try to build a dome stadium, and then obviously they'll try to get some money from the taxpayers to make that happen. I just don't see the need in having a dome stadium here. The location, I don't know if you've been here, it's right in the middle of Uptown. It's right in the middle of everything. You can walk everywhere. You know, they're talking about moving it somewhere else, putting a dome on the stadium, and having, you know, a Super Bowl here once, and then having, you know, a college football playoff maybe, and maybe having a Final Four. It doesn't seem to make sense to build, you know, a $1 billion stadium to maybe have some events. I like the stadium the way it is, and I think fans are happy at least that he said he's going to keep the team in Charlotte.
And the purchase price to me is also an intriguing story, because $2.2 billion is maybe a little bit less than the NFL was hoping for. Do you think that the and this comes on the heels of reports that the Tennessee Titans had wanted to sell their team for maybe a lot more than the overall value was. Do you think franchise values in the NFL have peaked?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, look, the Bills in 2014 sold for $1 billion less than this. I mean, that's a big jump in 4 years. Jerry Richardson said he wanted $3 billion. I think that's kind of ludicrous. I don't know what other teams would go for. I mean, Charlotte's in, you know, the Panthers are in a smaller market. They've not won a Super Bowl. They've not had back-to-back winning seasons yet in their entire franchise in 22 years. That's remarkable, considering they've been to two Super Bowls. And they made the playoffs four out of the last 5 years. One of those years, they were 7-8-1. So I don't think that the franchise is going to be valued as highly as other franchises. I mean, I think the Cowboys are still going to be in the $4-4.5 billion range. I think the sale price feels about right. I know that maybe they wanted, you know, 2.5 or 3 million. But I don't really think that, I think the values are still going up. But eventually, you know, eventually they're going to even out, and what, when that is, I don't know.
All right. We're talking to Jeff Shorts. We do every single Wednesday, an hour or two. If you were advising LeBron James right now, if LeBron James came to you, obviously the biggest story in sports right now is what's going on with I would say the Cavs right now, because I think the Warriors are going to win game two. And I think LeBron, there's more drama surrounding him than there is anything surrounding the Warriors or the Rockets. Where would you advise LeBron James to sign next year?
I would say Houston's out. I mean, to me, with that style of offense they play, just basically dribble for 20 seconds and chuck up a three, that style has not worked in the playoffs. I mean, D'Antonio has not won very much in the playoffs. I wouldn't want to go there. I wouldn't want to go to play with James Harden, who, look, great player, did win the MVP, had a fantastic year, but you're just not going to get the ball as much as you used to. And I know LeBron wants the ball in his hands. That's part of the issue about going to Philly as well, is Simmons will have the ball in his hands, and maybe LeBron will be able to acquiesce some of that. But I just think he's tired of having to carry his team. He's tired of having to score 40 a night to just contend in these games. So which opportunity provides him the chance to not do as much? I think that is Philly, because they're young, and Bede and Simmons can go ahead and score when necessary, maybe not Simmons so much. And then the Lakers. Look, the Lakers' allure, I think, is just playing for that franchise. And if you were able to build up a third franchise, and building the Lakers up would be more of a task than the Sixers or obviously the Rockets, who are pretty much set in place. That's one thing that he can say that he's done better or more often than Jordan. I mean, he built the Cavs, he built the Heat, and now he can go to Los Angeles and build one of the premier franchises into a champion again. So I think it's Philly or Los Angeles. I just don't see him meshing very well in Houston. And as well, you know, Philly is in an easier conference. I know the Celtics could be good for many years, but we know if he leaves the Cavs, they're done, and he owns the Raptors. So I think Philly just seems like a logical choice to me.
Good stuff, as always. Jeff Schwartz, we will talk to you next week.
Yep, take care, guys.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
If you were waking up across the country this morning, the big question, I think, is pretty straightforward. Are LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers officially done? Is LeBron's reign atop the NBA's Eastern Conference over? And I think there is a legitimate argument to be made that yes is the answer, clearly, after the way Game 2 went down. We're going to break it down for you, but right now we have a poll question up for you. I just tweeted it out, and it's simple. Are LeBron and the Cavs done? Over 1,000 of you have voted in the first 5 minutes of this poll, and 70% of you are saying yes, you believe LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers are done. Now, in order to not be done, they will need to win 4 of their next 5 games, and those 4 of the next 5 wins must come, including, and I think this is kind of key, 2 of those would have to come on the road, probably. But now they still, to be fair, have an opportunity to get 3 home wins, and then they would just have to win 1 game out of 2 in Boston. And if you break it down that way, I think it sounds somewhat doable, right? Because the Boston Celtics have not been very good on the road. So if I am the Cleveland Cavaliers right now, I say, okay, we're not going to lose at home. I mean, I think that's the way you have to think right now, down 0-2. If you come back and win game 3, then you put a lot of pressure on them going into game 4, and then all the pressure is on them going back to Boston for game 5. And even if you lose that one, you can say, okay, we're going to win game 6, and then all the pressure is going to be back on them for game 7. So all you have to do, if you're the Cavs right now and you're thinking down the line, winning 4 out of 5 sounds tough, but it doesn't sound as tough when you say, hey, we just got to win our home games, and we got to win 1 out of 2 in Boston in order to win this series. Having said that, there are a lot of alarming details of what we saw last night. I'm going to run through several of them. First, LeBron James came out and went for 42, 12, and 10. And his team still lost by 13. Kevin Love, 22 and 15. Pretty solid. Kevin Love and LeBron James combined to take the vast majority of the shots that this team would take, the Cleveland Cavaliers, all night. They shot over 50% from the floor, and they shot a really high percentage, 7 out of 17 from 3, those two guys combined. And guess what? The Cavs still lost by 13 points. In fact, the Cavs actually shot a higher percentage from the floor, 46%, to the 43% of the Boston Celtics. They shot the exact same from three-point range. Both teams were 10 for 31. From a rebounding perspective, This game was almost identical. The Celtics had one more rebound. What troubled me more than anything was the way everybody responded on the Cavs when the second half really started to go badly. I thought Jeff Van Gundy summed it up really, really well when he said the Cavs look like a married couple. The way they roll their eyes, they look like, is a direct quote, "The Cavs eye roll each other more than a couple in a bad marriage." All-time great live radio, live television, wherever it is, live line to break down what he was seeing on the court in real time. The other thing was the Cavs' second half defense was flat out atrocious. They gave up so many open looks, and a couple of times they gave up open looks, and they didn't even have a man running at a three-point shooter. That reminded me a lot of what we saw in the game one between the Warriors and the Rockets. How many times did it feel like Klay Thompson was standing all by himself around the three-point line, just taking his time, and nobody even makes an effort to even move in his direction? It's like everybody's trying to save energy. And a part of me wonders whether LeBron James is ultimately in this series going to just dial it out and say, you know what, I did everything I could to win game two. I don't think this team has any chance to actually win a title. Now, maybe continuing his title streak is important to LeBron James. I don't know why it would be. I don't know why going to the finals and losing is somehow preferable to losing in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think a big story here, and we will see, because there are a bunch of days now. I don't believe game three in this series now is till Saturday, right? So we've got Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. The Cavs have a lot of time to sit around and contemplate how to get back into this series, having lost two games now by a combined 38 points in Boston. It's not just the Cavs have lost, it's that they have lost big. Now, let me give you a positive story for the Cavs. And I said this yesterday before we came into game two. I said, if you go look at the Cavs, they have now, I think it's fair to say, gotten blown out three times. This wasn't necessarily a blowout. It trended right on it in the second half. But when you're up seven at the first half, you can't say it's a blowout. So, close games. Games decided in the final 5 minutes. And this was not one of them. The Cavs are still 6-1. So I don't think they're going to blow out the Celtics in game three or game four in Cleveland on Saturday and on Monday. But I do think they'll go back to Cleveland. I think they will win game three, and then we'll see what happens. Because if the Celtics go win game three, the series is over and it's probably going to be a sweep. I don't think there's any way the Celtics are going to win game three, but man, is this over? I want to bring in the crew. Do you guys believe this series is over? Poll question is up. You can find me on Twitter at Clay Travis. You can go vote on that. It's amazing sometimes to see how quickly you guys dive into these polls. Are LeBron and the Cavs done? That poll has been up for 10 minutes. 3,000 of you have voted in it already, and 68% of you are saying yes, LeBron and the Cavs are done. Do you agree with the poll, Jason Martin?
I do, although if it becomes 2-1, if it comes back 2-2 and you have to beat LeBron James 2 out of 3 games, that's a tall order. But what Jeff Van Gundy said, and I mentioned this off the top as well, is that this is not a unified basketball team at all. These guys don't appear to like each other very much. There's no camaraderie happening at all. Like, if they mic'd up Tristan Thompson, and he seemed to be kind of into it, and he seemed to be kind of an energy guy on the floor, and some of the stuff he was saying was making a lot of sense. Looks like he has a pretty bright basketball mind. LeBron probably has the best basketball mind of all time, but the rest of that team, like, you don't see the talking. You don't see the kind of unification that you saw from the Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens said before the game, we're going to take a heavyweight championship punch, and we know where it's coming from. Our success will depend upon how we answer it. So LeBron comes out there and he punches you in the mouth. He gives you 21. But at the same time, Horford's hitting threes. Jaylen Brown's hitting threes. He has 21 in the first quarter, does LeBron, but they're only up 4. So when you come out for that second half, it was a very front-loaded performance, not just for LeBron, but for the Cavs. They were chasing out on the shooters. They were collapsing out, making it very, very difficult for the jump shots for the Celtics in the first half. But the Cavs only scored 39 points in the second half. As bad as their defense was, their offense was putrid. It was a 59-39 win in the second half for the Celtics. That's a team that is unraveling, and you saw that with J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith, let's talk about this for a minute, too. That J.R. Smith play
should have been gone.
I actually would be okay with J.R. Smith being suspended for a game. The Cavs may, by the way, be okay with J.R. Smith being suspended for a game, too. But when you saw that happen, to me, the NBA spends so much time, and to Van Gundy and Mark Jackson's credit, they were all over this. The NBA spends so much time looking at tape. Is this a flagrant one? Is this a flagrant two? When you shove a guy in the small of his back as he goes to the basket for a shot, Mark Jackson was correct on this. That starts a fight in many different places where you play basketball all over this country. If you do that in a pickup basketball game, in most college gyms, you're going to get in a shoving match at a minimum, and it might actually be a fight. If you do that in many pickup games all over the country, it might end in a fight, and your team is not even going to stand up for you. That's so far outside of the pale. And a lot of times when you're trying to challenge a shot at the basket or when you're trying to play defense and you try to block a shot, you can swing your arm and miss and hit somebody in the head. Somebody can make a step that you're not anticipating. You can run into them like we saw, frankly, happen with Jason Tatum and LeBron James in this game. That was not a physically violent play. It just sometimes happens that big, strong bodies end up running into each other, right? I mean, that happens in all sports, and everybody who's ever played one knows that. And the difference between what J.R. Smith did, he came out and put up a donut from the floor, by the way, didn't put up any points, should have gotten kicked out of the game, is emblematic, I think, of why I said earlier, this Cavs team, outside of LeBron, reminds me a lot of the Pistons when Jordan finally got past them. This dynastic team that is not going to accept being beaten well. And so I think this thing, that there's a good chance that there's going to be more physical altercations in this series as it continues. And I think J.R. Smith should have been kicked out of the game. And frankly, I wouldn't have a problem if they suspended him for game three. Now, I also don't think the Cavs would mind if they suspended him for game three, because I think this is kind of who J.R. Smith is, and I think he lives right there on the edge. He might come out and hit six threes for you, and then he can also come out and go 0-for-6 just as easily. Like, he doesn't ever seem to be average. He's either really on or he's worthless. And so, to me, that was emblematic of the overall Cavs effort and the way they played. It wasn't just that they got beaten. It was that they got their ass kicked.
Mentally
and physically.
Not only did they get their ass kicked, but Boston knew they could punk them, and they punked them. Marcus Morris shouting at Tristan Thompson after making that play down low in the second half, and then the J.R. Smith thing. Marcus Smart stood up for his teammate. Marcus Smart plays on the edge. He plays over the edge. You know what I'm thinking in my head? Draymond Green versus Marcus Smart in the NBA Finals? That would be entertaining to watch, but no question about it. I believe the Cavs are soft. I believe they are all soft, basically. LeBron's not soft, even though he's got that millennial touch. Tristan Thompson at times isn't, but he's got to be emotionally soft just because of how little we've seen him this season and certainly in the postseason. But that play by J.R. Smith is completely unacceptable. That was a dude that was 0-for-7, that was mad, that knew that they were about to
lose. Do you think he should get suspended?
Yes, absolutely. There's nothing. I mean, that's about as dangerous a thing as you can do is to catch somebody in the air from behind with a double-handed shove out of bounds. Mark Jackson said that would be the end of the game.
Yeah.
If it was on the streets.
Yeah, Horford, to his credit, responded so well there.
Yep.
By the way, and props to Smart for standing up for his teammate. But I thought that the way Horford responded, he hit the jumper from outside, but more importantly, he got the ball in the post and went right to the basket and got an and one and basically ended the game right there. I thought that was a great example of how you can be mentally tough. Guys in L.A., do you believe this series is over? Let me give you the most recent update in the poll question. Is this series over? Are the Cavs and LeBron done? All the vote is rolling in, and still right around 70% of you as we get over 4,000 votes. You can go vote. I'm at Clay Travis on Twitter. 70% of you now in the first 15 minutes, not a lot of belief in LeBron. Now, to be fair, the Cavs came back from a 3-1 series deficit. We know against the Warriors, it's been told ad infinitum. I still believe if Draymond Green doesn't get suspended for Game 5, that series probably ends in 5. But the Cavs did come back from a 3-1 deficit. I'm sure that will be talked about a ton over the next 3 days as we wait for Game 3 in this series to take place. But what do you guys think, Danny G and Justin? Are LeBron and the Cavs done?
Yeah, so obviously I had the Celtics prior to the series starting, and I'm going to stay with that. I had them yesterday winning that game too. I'm curious to see what happens in Cleveland, but Boston is just a better team, period. Yep. It's that simple. And so I just don't see LeBron being able to carry this team the way he has carried past teams. You saw his body language yesterday. He just looks like he's done carrying them.
Yeah, and this could be, if you're buying into that game plan, this could be the last couple of games, theoretically, that LeBron James ever plays in Cleveland. Because I think there's a decent chance that the Celtics can go in there and split. And if that happened and they got it to 3-1, first of all, we'll hear all over again, oh, LeBron's come back from 3-1 before. But they'll be going back to Boston with a chance to win their, ninth or tenth consecutive game at home in the playoffs and have an opportunity to basically wipe the floor with LeBron James. So I think there's a good chance they split. What about you, Justin? You think it's going to happen?
I think there's a good chance that they split, and I've always been saying from the beginning that I still thought that the Cavs were going to win this series. Now, I'm not as comfortable saying that, but
yeah, go figure.
But I will say that just knowing the way that the NBA, I'm not going to sit here and suggest that it's rigged or anything like that. But you got to imagine that it's going to be evened up for dramatic effect. I can definitely see that happening.
If you're interested out there in what the updated odds are to win the NBA championship, the Warriors now minus 300, the Rockets plus 525, the Celtics 9-1, the Cavs are now 11-1. So the Warriors are just a prohibitive favorite, and that number will go off the charts if they win tonight, Game 2 on the road in Houston. The Warriors up 1-0, looking to make it 2-0. By the way, we haven't even hardly mentioned this at all, but we should. The Caps had a chance to basically end the Tampa Bay Lightning last night. The Lightning, to their credit, lost the first two at home, came roaring back to win Game 3. That series now 2-1, the Washington Capitals lead, with Game 4 in Washington coming up. And Vegas, big week for Vegas just in general. Sports gambling gets legalized, suddenly a lot of competition there. But the Vegas Golden Knights coming back home tonight for Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals in the NHL. That series tied up at one game apiece.